Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. Our site is new. It is beautiful. It is luxurious. It is, insert an adjective, Trevor, I'm running out of them.
No, all these things. Truly all these things.
Is breathtaking, God-given, heavenly yes. Inspired.
Yeah.
Wow. But seriously, it's pretty awesome. You guys check it out. The new look, the Draft Network site, along with the Mock Draft Machine and Build Your Own Big Board features that you guys have been waiting for forever. You can now buy TDN gear as well. There's so many cool, awesome new things in the site. So just go check it out over at thedraftnetwork.com. We're really excited about it. So to celebrate, we decided to kick things off with a little Mock Draft Monday podcast. It's been a while.
It's what the people want. It's what the people want. We got to give the people truly what they
have clamored for it for years now. Well, years is an exaggeration, but months. It's been months since we did our last one, I think.
Maybe.
At least 6 weeks, I think.
Did we do one?
Before the Senior Bowl.
We did. Okay. All right. I was wondering if we'd done one in 2019 yet, because then you could have actually said years.
Right. That's true. I could have. But no, we did one before the Senior Bowl. We didn't use the spreadsheet, though, for it. We operate off a spreadsheet for those who can't see, which is all of you. We operate off a spreadsheet so we make sure we don't miss any picks or anything like that. But when we were in Mobile, we did it on the marker board, remember?
I remember.
Yeah, because we were actually doing it in person. Now we are not. We are in separate locations, but joined by this mock draft, and you have the first overall pick in the Arizona Cardinals. What will you do? Will you select Kyler Murray?
No. Now, I do think that Kyler Murray actually has a chance to go number one overall, but it's obviously not going to be to Arizona. So if Arizona stays,
it's not going number one overall, but
they're not picking Kyler Murray. I make this easy for you or not?
First pick, man.
I know, but like, I'm just wondering, do I make this easy for you or not?
I think you have to do what you need to do, and I've just got to be able to adapt. That's what life's about.
Then Nick Bosa it is.
Nick Bosa. Imagine it. Nick Bosa being the number one overall pick in the draft. Hard to foresee it, ladies and gentlemen.
Nick Bosa on one side, Chandler Jones on the other.
And somehow, I mean, that's a great start, man. That's what you call that. They got a lot of work still to do, but that's really a nice start. Man, this second pick becomes difficult, as you indicated, with that selection. I really don't think Josh Allen's like the clear-cut number two guy or anything like that, but the 49ers really need an edge. I'm really curious to see how testing breaks up Allen, Burns, and Polite, because I think we kind of see the same thing mock draft after mock draft. If Bosa goes first, the 49ers go with Josh Allen. If Quinton Williams goes first, 49ers go with Nick Bosa. So I think that's kind of what we've seen. The 49ers don't really take Quinton Williams in mock drafts. I actually think that's accurate. I don't think they'll take Quinton Williams, even if he's sitting there and Bosa's off the board and they think he's the second best player in the draft. I just don't think it's a big enough need. I really think Josh Allen is the type of player they'll love. That competitive drive, the spirit, you know, the way he plays the game, the fact that he's an ascending player, I don't think they'll shy away from some of the rawness. So, you know, they took Solomon Thomas high. I think he was super raw. So I think Josh Allen's kind of in the same boat. So I think they'll shoot their shot with Josh Allen if Nick Bosa goes off the board first.
All right, you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
All right, you got a young quarterback, right? Sam Darnold.
So you're drafting Kyler Murray.
They talk about
because they do the same thing for Arizona, and Sam Darnold wasn't better than Josh Rosen last year, so I'm just using that same reasoning, but carry on.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Everybody talks about, Josh Allen, you got to build around him, you got to give him weapons, all that kind of stuff. I'm not giving him DK Metcalf.
Dang it. So as you can't see, I copy-pasted.
You put him on the board right as I was doing that, now I got to correct you for it.
I thought that's where you were going.
What I'm actually doing, though, is I'm giving him Juwan Taylor.
Okay.
I think Juwan Taylor is the best pass protector in the draft.
You're right.
So I like that. I think they're going to take Juwan Taylor.
Right. And this is this predictive or is this what we would do? We didn't really set that up.
I guess it's what we would do because we're the analysts anyways. But if I'm the Jets, I'm taking Taylor anyway. So that makes sense.
Wow. I like it. I like it a lot. I think that one works for either way. I think this is a very possible pick. People are kind of still surprised, but they're still adjusting Juwan Taylor being considered one of the best prospects in the class. I'm still adjusting. He wasn't on anybody's radar going into the year. Josh Allen was on radars, but not like this. So there's two huge risers, two of the most improved players in college football, and that's why I love the draft. I wouldn't have either of those guys in my top 100 going into the year. Maybe Allen at the tail end of it, but now here we are, and they're two of the best players in the class, and I think there's no question about it. So love the NFL draft for that reason. I am going to go with DK Metcalf to Oakland. Let's keep shaking things up, baby. Here's the thing. Oakland's receivers are trash. Hot garbo. Like, this is a bad group of receivers. I think they're going to love DK Metcalf's traits. He's a freak. He also loves football. His work ethic. You heard Dawson Knox on the podcast last Friday. He raved about Metcalf's work ethic, his smarts. He's committed to the game. Yes, he needs some polish, but when he runs in the 4.3s of the combine, ain't nobody going to care about that. Also, he's going to interview super well. He's huge. Did I mention he's huge? Did I mention he's fast? He's everything that people want to take a chance on at receiver.
Young Julio.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he's young Julio, baby.
He ain't a finished product, but who cares? Like, if you're not going to bet on DK Metcalf, don't bet on any prod. Take sure things.
Get out of the
want.
Casino.
Right.
Get off the table.
This right here. Yes. Yes. That. Raiders take DK Metcalf.
All right. Bucks obviously have a huge need at running back, so I'm just kidding. I'm not taking a running back at 5.
I didn't put one there.
No, I know. Now, okay. So you got a couple options that could go here, and I think free agency is going to be a big deal to what the Bucks end up doing at 5. I've been told that they're not super high on this offensive line class. So especially Imagine. That if Juwan Taylor Imagine. Is not there, I think that I actually don't think they're going to take an offensive lineman at 5. They could end
Donovan
up
Smith staying probably, right? So that really
Donovan Smith is staying. Okay, so they could go linebacker. Devin White's a possibility. But I do think that they want to bring Quan back. And if they bring Quan back, you got Lavonte David, you got Quan Alexander, you got Kendall Beckwith. That's your linebackers. You don't draft a fourth one. They could draft Greedy Williams because they need a corner, but I don't know about that. Quinnen Williams is too obvious here because even though I do think that they're going to keep Jerome McCoy this year, they're going to have the same debate next year, and he's going to be a year older, and they're going to have the same debate the year after that, and he's going to be a year older, and he's still got the same price tag, basically. You want Quinnen Williams on the team. Draft Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think it's a very fair point. Let's go with the Giants, number 6.
This is what we would do, correct?
This is what we would do, okay. Yes. With a little bit of what's real. We're trying to keep it semi-realistic, too, you know, so I think a little bit. So what we would do at number 6, they need edge pass rusher. They definitely need corners, but I'm not high enough on any corner to pull the trigger here. Same with safety, especially if they – well, apparently Landon Collins' locker is cleaned out, so – apparently they need
and all the things that are in there he don't need anymore.
Yeah, in case you were curious. Giants at 6 is tricky though, because I don't think they're going to take quarterback, and again, like, you could incentivize me to like do what you would do and take a quarterback here because of the job, but I don't know if I would play that risk. First of all, I would take Kyler Murray, but he doesn't fit with the Giants at all, nor what they're trying to, like, Gettleman, like, with Kyler Murray, like, you know, Shermer with Kyler Murray. I don't know, man. Like, conservative passing attack, short to intermediate stuff. I don't know. It strikes me more as Haskins than Murray. But Giants, I would love to see that offense with Kyler Murray, though, selfishly. I think at this position, offensive line is still, like, if you ask me what Gettleman's thinking of doing, and I don't necessarily disagree with the pick. I don't know if it's exactly what I would do, but I don't necessarily disagree with the pick either. It's a little high for Cody Ford, but I think if you ask what Gettleman likes, big maulers that can move, high character guy, like, I think that's what he's looking for, a Cody Ford type. Try him at tackle, play him at guard. You need help at both spots. He can be an immediate, he can be a starter for you in the NFL at either spot. So I really like Cody Ford. The second offensive tackle comes off the board at number 6.
This is a mock draft of what we're doing. Jacksonville, they need a quarterback. This ain't a debate. I'm picking Kyler Murray.
Wow.
I'm taking Kyler Murray, and I'm giving him to Jacksonville. I think he's my QB1, so, you know. I hear what you're saying about kind of what the coaching staff has preferred, what Coughlin, what all those guys might prefer. It might lean more towards Haskins, but if you're asking me to make the pick, I'm giving you the best quarterback in the draft, I think.
Yep, I don't disagree with you at all there. I don't think the Jaguars would pick him, but I do think he's the best quarterback in the draft and the most upside, anyway, of any quarterback in the draft. So that's how I view it. Detroit at number 8. This becomes a tricky pick because everybody's like, oh, edge pass rusher, Montez Sweat, Cleveland Farrell. Okay, I hear that, but at the same time, I'm not sure that that'll be either of those guys will be the pick. Do they really value edge pass rusher that much? They need a corner. This is high for me to take any of the corners. I wouldn't roll it out for Detroit, though. I feel like they're pretty set on the offensive line. The sneaky spot, though, is this is where a tight end could come off the board, and that is what I'm going to do. T.J. Hockenson, number 8 to Detroit. This is what they need, man. They need a guy like this who can be a weapon for their offense in the passing game, but also tone setters, culture guys. Like, that's what Patricia's trying to acquire. So I think the front office will be on board with that. Hawkins is kind of an easy sell, man. If Josh Allen's off the board and, you know, some of the other top guys are off the board, I feel like this is kind of the sweet spot for TJ. This is where it starts for anywhere from 8 to, I don't know, roughly like 21 or something like that is probably Hawkinson's spots.
Every Lions fan listening to this podcast just tuned off and unsubscribed. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Buffalo Bills, I'm going to give them Jonah Williams. I think that it's kind of the same thought process with the New York Jets. They have a young quarterback in place. They've got to surround him with a lot of different talent. That's not just at the skill position. It's also at the offensive line. I think that Jonah Williams can play tackle in the NFL. But, you know, off chance that they get better guys who are at tackle, they're kicking him in a guard, I think he can be a really great guard as well. And so I just think that you're getting a really good offensive lineman no matter what with Jonah Williams, and that's going to be a crucial piece for Buffalo as they kind of build around Josh Allen.
Huh. Very interesting. Don't mind that pick at all. Joe Flacco going to Buffalo. Man, we're in some uncharted territory here. Now, Denver has Joe Flacco. We have not done a mock draft since Denver acquired the services of one Joseph A. Flacco. I don't know if his middle initial is A or not, but it is today. They need help at other positions for sure. I think this team.
Joe Flacco's middle name is Vinton.
Wow. Joseph V. Flacco. Joseph Blue Pulaski. Now that they've acquired him at number 10, Denver on the board. What do they do here at this spot? We already have 3 tackles off the board. It seems unlikely that they will go that avenue. There is this is the interesting part of the Denver being on the board to me. If Matt Paradis is gone, and they've already, it's kind of been leaked out that they're going to let him test the free agency and see some things. So we'll see what happens with that situation. If he's gone, Garrett Bradbury, this could, I'm telling you, it's a wild card pick, but it could happen at this spot on the board. I really believe that. There's also some conversation. Pecco's going to be let go, and Wolf has to restructure his contract. There's some discussion there. So interior defensive line could be a need for this team, a spot that they want to address maybe. But they spend so much with the edge pass rushers, I feel like the secondary is kind of where they'll turn their attention. Greedy Williams isn't a finished product, but they have to get some corner help, I think. His upside is definitely clear to me. Mm-hmm. Does he want to be great, like on a snap-to-snap basis, as our boy Mike Gundy would say? Does he want to compete? That's what I want to know about Greedy Williams. Like, late in the rep, like, you know, are you going to be able to finish? Can you tackle? Will you run support? Things like that. His traits are amazing. I think he's going to test really, really well and be a winner from the combine. I just need to know, does he really want to be? That's what teams are going to have to figure out. Does he want to be great in the pre-draft process?
Man.
Cincinnati, the obvious pick is still here.
The obvious pick is still here, and I think that's probably ultimately where I'm going to go. But I'll give him Devin White. I think Devin White's probably going to end up being the pick if the board kind of fell like this. But I will say, if Hawkinson was here, I'd pick him.
You'd think about, oh wow, you'd do it.
I'd pick him
straight up.
I'd pick him.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Green Bay on the board. To me, edge pass rusher. We talked about it on the NFC North podcast, but that's the need. I think you're right about that. Brian Burns coming off the board to the Green Bay Packers. I like Ja'Kai Polite as well. I like Brian Burns a little bit more right now. I do think Polite has a chance to really steal the show at the combine and turn the tables a little bit there if he can out-test Burns. So I'm pretty excited about Brian Burns if I'm a Packers fan. Like, it's a great pick. And there's lots of good tight ends later in this class. There's lots of good receivers later in this class you can add. But edge pass rushers, take them high if you want them. And they need one. So Brian Burns coming off the board here makes a ton of sense.
John, answer me this question.
Yes.
Is Miami one of the teams that must get a new quarterback by the time the 2019 season kicks off?
Yes, they are.
All right, Dwayne Haskins it is. I totally agree with you. I think that no matter what, Miami has to come away with a quarterback in the first round of this draft.
Yep.
And obviously, the more aggressive that they get to move up and down, the more of a preference they're going to have from the group that's there. Because, you know, I'm sure that guys aren't as high in this quarterback class, but we know that drafts always go as quarterbacks go. So they're going to go pretty early. So I do not ultimately think that Miami can sit here at 13 and Dwayne Haskins will get to them. I don't think that that's going to happen when the real draft shakes out. So if Miami wants one of these, trading up to number 5,
sure,
maybe number 6, number 8, something, they're going to have to do it to get up, to get a quarterback. And I think that Miami is going to be a team that's going to get really aggressive.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me completely. I think you're spot on there. Ed Oliver in Atlanta, the marriage just makes too much sense to me. I think it's kind of an obvious pick. Everybody talks about it potentially happening if Oliver slides, but they clearly have a need at the position. They don't have a need many other spots. They haven't really prioritized interior offensive line. They just signed Cimbrello, who's going to get a chance to start a right tackle. So that kind of takes that need off the board. I just don't really see where is the clear-cut need at another position for Atlanta right now other than tier defensive line. I think unless you go edge pass rusher, which is a thought here too, you got
right.
Maybe, but
right.
I think it's Ed Oliver. I really do.
All right, so for Washington.
That was a heavy sigh for the Redskins because you know you have to pick a quarterback, but you don't really like Drew Lock. That's accurate, right? That's why you sighed.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, my goodness. I think they've got to sign somebody in free agency. But then you've got so much money in two quarterbacks. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have it if you take one first round. Let's be honest. Washington gets the draft. They need a quarterback, as they do in this situation, clearly, given what we know right now. They are not going to be able to stay at 15. Like, they're in a
no,
really
they
bad
had,
spot.
They're another team that has to move. Okay. I'm going
to
give them
a bad
Locke.
Quarterback class. Rough.
I'm going to give them Drew Lock because they must get a quarterback. And even though I think this is super risky to pick Drew Lock even in the first round, you've got to be able to do it. Yeah. I mean, they have to get a quarterback. The other two positions I was looking at, though, that I was thinking about when I had that heavy sigh, Kelvin Harmon, the wide receiver, I think would be a great pick for Washington as well. And then, two, Ja'Kai Polite, pairing him with future Hall of Famer Ryan Kerrigan. I don't hate it.
I can see that as well.
I don't
Carolina
hate it.
Carolina on the board, man, and your offensive line is definitely in need. I agree. I hear you. I feel it. I'm not going to pull the trigger here. Man,
he's not feeling it enough.
I just want to be different. I love Garrett Bradbury. I think he's a top 10 prospect in the class. I just am not sure that they're like this team that desires to go with this zone heavy scheme type. So we'll see. We'll see how things turn out for Carolina. But I just don't see that when I watch them. Not that he couldn't be a good fit. He could still work, I think, there. But I think edge pass rusher is the spot that they're looking for. It's not going to be Peppers, obviously, anymore with him moving on. But I think that they don't really have anything there right now. I mean, Mario Addison's one side, but at the other spot, they don't really have anything worth getting excited about. So Ferrell, to me, is that guy. I think he fits. He's local. He fits kind of what they're looking for at the position. High character type of guy, leader, locker room guy. I think that's the type of player they're looking to acquire. I don't think his upside's as good as a guy like Ja'Kai Polite, who's still on the board, but I do think Ferrell fits their defense a little bit more than Polite does.
Cleveland at number 17. You know who I'm going with?
I don't yet, but I'm guessing Simmons or Wilkins.
It's going to be Christian Wilkins. And I'm going to say this right now. Christian Wilkins goes higher than this.
No, he doesn't.
I think so.
This is the peak spot for him. Where else is he going to go?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, no. I think he goes top 15.
The only team that might be dumb enough to – not dumb enough. Wilkins is a good player.
There's going to be so much movement in this draft, John, that I think Wilkins goes somewhere in the top 15.
I don't think there's a chance.
I really
Detroit
do.
Is the only – your prayer is that Patricia's like, I love this culture guy. Like,
all right. So they trade back from 8 to 13. Nah. Miami goes up to get a quarterback. Detroit gets Wilkins. There you go. Wow.
They have three interior defensive linemen who played well last year. Like, I just can't see them making that move.
Sleeper pick.
They
for
acquired
Christian
snacks. They traded for him. Hand is a beast.
Sleeper pick for Christian Wilkins. Denver at 10. There you go.
No way. I mean, I did just talk about their need for interior.
You heard it here first. Credit the Locked On NFL Draft podcast when it happens.
I cannot see Minnesota disliking Garrett Bradbury. If he is on the board, that pick just makes so much sense to me. Like, zone-heavy team that's trying to put in a lot of elements for Dalvin Cook and his style of running. I think Bradbury makes a ton of sense. Elf line hasn't been great. They need interior offensive line help. Elf line, kick him to guard, play Bradbury at center, flip that, I don't care. He helps you on the offensive line. He's a perfect scheme fit, high character guy, upsides through the roof. I just think they have to make that. They love athletic offensive linemen too, and he's that. So that pick is just perfect to me.
Yeah, this one's easy for me too. Ja'Kai Polite going to Tennessee at 19. If they can sit at 19 and still get one of those top edge rushers that we've talked about throughout the draft process, I mean, they've got to be super happy about that just from the way the offseason went and how their edge rusher guys are aging and being able to pair him and Landry on the same defensive line. It's a pretty nasty combo. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, Pittsburgh on the clock, number 20. I'm going Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Yes, Byron Murphy is on the board. Yes, DeAndre Baker's on the board. No, I do not believe Pittsburgh will consider them given the way they currently evaluate the position. We're talking about reaching for a bad corner, ladies and gentlemen, or we are talking about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who came to Florida as a corner, switched to play free safety, played in the nickel last season, has played in the box, has played pseudo linebacker, has done just about everything for Florida. Pittsburgh's valuing versatility right now with a lot of the guys they acquire. Sean Davis was a versatile corner safety hybrid type of guy. Edmonds was a versatile in his usage of safety, in their opinion anyway. So I think not necessarily that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson will come in and be a dominant safety and everybody's going to make their draft in a safety again. He can play in the nickel. They weren't fired up about Hilton late in the season. They were trying to bench him. He can play in the nickel. They might give Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a look on the outside at corner again. With his traits, and if he tests well, his size, I think teams are going to be interested. You're going to hear that buzz at the combine. Some teams like him as an outside corner want to try him there. I think you're going to see that actually have some legs. One of those teams could be Pittsburgh. In a bad corner class, teams are going to get creative. That could be an option for him. If nothing else, he plays free safety for you, and Terrell Edmonds plays strong safety, and Sean Davis is your third safety because he's not going to produce on the ball, and Gardner Johnson might, and you upgrade a spot. I just can't justify reaching for a bad corner here.
Well, I'll tell you, if the board falls like this and Pittsburgh's got the opportunity to take either like Byron Murphy or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, whoever they don't take, Seattle takes right after him.
Wait. Seattle takes Byron Murphy? At corner? He's not their type at all.
He's a good cornerback, so they're going to take him.
Big press guys, long guys?
No, they're going to take him. They're going to take him.
You're wild.
Nope. They need good defensive backs, and Byron Murphy is a good defensive back. You draft good players.
Well, they're going to do that. This is what we would do, so that's...
This is true.
Right. That's a little bit more fair.
So the coaching staff can suck it.
Right. Good.
I'm giving you a good player. Do something with him.
Well said, yeah. Definitely can suck it. Marquise Brown going off the board to Baltimore. No, he's not the next receiver on my board. So this is a little deviation from what I would do, just to clarify that. But at the same time,
they're effing up the mock for everybody.
Yeah, I am. Basically, that's what I'm doing. But for Baltimore, I just think about what they might need at the position. And like, I think that whether they actually throw the ball down the field or not, I think that he gives them the option to be able to do that if Lamar Jackson can improve in that way. Also, you can give it to him short, and he can make people miss, and he can make splash plays happen. Also, he can be an extension of your running game with his skill set. Baltimore is probably going to get wild and innovative on offense. He allows you to do a lot of different things. I think play inside and out. You can put him in the backfield, do some fun stuff with him as well. So, to me, he just makes sense as the kind of player that would fit what Baltimore is kind of evolving towards.
This has to be offensive line, right?
Houston, offensive line. I don't think there's any question, man.
Yeah, it's basically either Chris Lidstrom or Dalton Risner for me, whichever one they would want to prioritize. I think they'll probably take Dalton Risner.
Right?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to take Dalton Risner just because tackle means more. You take him with the earlier pick. So Houston has a lot of needs on their offensive line. Risner not only gives you the ability to play tackle, but he like Jonah Williams, he's kind of got that versatility feel to him where, hey, with the team that really needs to revamp a lot of their offensive line, if it happens to fall where, hey, you can get a tackle at this point, or you can get a guard at this point, maybe in free agency or later in the draft, having Risner allows you to be creative in putting that quote-unquote best five out there. And I think that's important when you're revamping an entire offensive line like Houston is.
The most important non-quarterback needy team that needs to move up in the draft is the Houston Texans. You cannot – don't sit at 23 and wait for the best tackle to fall to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go get a difference maker at the position. Especially if there's any slide at all. The way we did this makes it tough because we had, three go in the top nine picks. That would make it tough for them. Then I would say, okay, I get it, I guess. But you got to go get your guy, man. Like, and I don't think you can sit back and take Greg Little and then, we're going to plug and play Greg Little. Nah, that ain't going to work. Like, I've watched his tape. I can tell you that ain't going to work. Oakland, man. Okay, so we took DK Metcalf with the first pick for Oakland. I'm back on the clock with the Raiders here. You have their next pick, so I get two of the Raiders' picks. Man, I'm all about adding playmakers in the secondary and at receiver for Oakland in this draft after you address edge pass rusher. This is where it gets tricky. I'm not a big Montez Sweat fan. Rashawn Gary is still on the board at this point, which is probably unrealistic in real life, but in our scenario, doing what we would do, he's off the board now at 24 to Oakland, because I still think Gary has really great traits. He can play inside, outside a little bit. I think, don't think he's totally lost on the edge. I just prefer him inside. I think he gives them some flexibility in terms of schematics. He also is a really high upside player, and so they're obviously taking that. If they're taking Metcalf, they're taking that. They're not worried about that. They're not worried about a team that's ready to compete right away, but they're taking two of the riskier picks, but high upside guys with their first pick. So Rashawn Gary, 24 to Oakland, you cultivate him, you see what he can become. He and Arden Key, all of a sudden, you've got a real interesting duo at the edge rusher spots.
Philly. All right, so this is what we would do, right? What we would do?
Yeah. Do it. Take Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Wow, you're so smart. You're so smart.
Easy. This is easy. Yeah. This is cake. You've given me some alley-oops this mock draft. You made it real easy for me. Jeffrey Simmons is a perfect complement with the inside for what Philadelphia likes to do. He'd be a great player in Philly. He really would.
Yeah, for sure. I love that pick. And again, if he's not healthy, who cares? Like, whatever. He's going to be healthy eventually. So, and plus, if you take him in the first round, you get the extra year on his contract, right? So then you still get him for 4 years.
Yep.
Like that part of it. Indianapolis is on the clock here. I really want to give them some defensive lineup. I feel like everybody kind of does that. I gave him Draymond Jones in my team mock draft earlier last week. I think it was Tuesday last week or something like that. I think that pick could work for them, but I'm not going to do that here. I'm going to be a little bit different. I'm going to go with Calvin Harmon. I really just think, man, how is Calvin Harmon still on the board? First of all, second of all, it's like, man, this could be the difference maker type of receiver. Totally different than T.Y. Hilton. High character guy, all work ethic, blocks, competes in the air for the ball. I just think he's a really, really good player. I don't know why he's not getting any buzz at all, really, in the pre-draft process so far. I know he may not blow up the combine, but I think he's going to have a really nice NFL career, and I think he's a perfect fit in Indy for what they need.
Yeah, you would have. I would have taken Kelvin Harmon for Oakland at 27. I would have doubled up. Nice. I would have gone DK and Kelvin.
I wouldn't have blamed you at all. Get weapons. Get weapons if you're Oakland, and that includes this tight end group.
Yeah. No, that's the one that I'm looking at. Screw it. All right, give Noah Fant.
Okay. Do it. Yeah. I like that.
Either going to pick him or I think Nasir Adderley, but
I like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just score points, man. Right. You score points in this league. Just go get guys who can score points.
Right. Okay, so the Chargers took Derwin James last year. They still might have a need in the secondary, but I'm not overly preoccupied with that position for them just yet. They're set at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line. This could be Andre Dillard. I would understand it here because they need a developmental guy at tackle for sure. That's something to consider if you're them. But, man, we've been trying to do this for forever, and we've been giving them interior defensive line help. I think Draymond Jones, Jerry Tillery makes sense here. But I want to just deviate from the norm just because Chargers fans are, like, already expecting us.
Yeah!
Let's put Devin Bush in here. Let's do that. Let's give the Chargers a little bit of a more dynamic presence at linebacker. I don't think Devin Bush is a first-round prospect, but I don't think there's that many first-round caliber prospects in this class, and I think he can cover and play right away. So I'm a little bit worried about his run defense around the box. That's okay, though. You can survive that in today's NFL. Plus, they got Perryman. They got some thumpers. Like, they can still find a way to take care of that stuff. But what Bush gives them on thirds down adds another level of dynamic ability to that defense. So I'm going Devin Bush to the Chargers at 28.
Oh, Kansas City needs a lot of things on defense.
Left really. You some corners here.
Yeah, no,
left I mean some safeties. This is good if the board falls.
Right, this one's easy for me. I'm picking Amani Arwarier, but I seem to have been higher on him than a couple of us at the Draft Network kind of throughout the year. Y'all have your concerns about him. And I don't think he's.
Kyle has him as a first round guy.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so me and Kyle once again agreeing and being on the right side of history, because I think Arwarier, has the mentality, has the length, has the body frame to be able to be the kind of corner that especially a team like the Chiefs want, and a guy who needs to get aggressive. He needs to get better at press coverage, being better with his technique, not getting off contact as much. But I do like him. That's all stuff that
Brad is on as well, I think.
You just got to get the right coach in the NFL. So hope he does. And if he does, he'll be a really good – he'll be a first-round corner.
I think Brad really likes him too. It's funny. He is kind of low-key one of the most polarizing prospects in the class. Like, I think Kyle, you, Brad, I think Arif likes him a good bit. I saw then other like the NFL isn't talking about him at all. Like it doesn't feel like there's any buzz there. And Dane Brugler, I think, has a fourth round grade on him. Like it's just like really, yeah. People and nobody talks about the fact that, but I think people see him totally differently right now. Like I think he's all over the place. Packers easy, man. Nasir Adderley's on the board. Needed safety is huge. They got their edge pass rusher early with Brian Burns. They get their safety. Great tight end class. Come back later in the draft. Get a tight end. I don't think any issue there, man. Green Bay, Nasir Adderley makes complete sense to me. I think that's the direction they're going in with this. So, yeah, 30. They get the Delaware safety. You can play free safety for them, and they get their single high guy, and that's really what they need after losing to Auckland Dicks.
I think that the Rams' biggest need is still edge rusher.
What? Really? Over corner? Well, that might be fair. I don't know.
I'm going to give them Charles Amenihue.
Over Montez Sweat. What?
Yes. Yes. Charles Amenihue, big fan of the pod. I like him, man. I really do. I know that early on we were going back and forth. Where do you like him? You like him. You say he could perfectly play edge. I thought he was more of an interior guy with his traits and kind of his first step being the main thing that he boasted. But Senior Bowl, I thought he did really well, and they played him at the edge a lot. So that kind of convinced me that he's got a lot more all-around versatility game on the defensive line than I think. I think that the Rams are a team that certainly, again, they're another coaching staff that it's like, hey, you just get me the guys, and we'll figure out what to do with them. And I think Amenihue would be in a good spot there.
Not a bad pick at all. New England's on the clock. I really feel like they could take a couple players here, to be honest. Montez Sweat kind of stands out, though, doesn't he?
They need.
I actually have a many who rated higher than Sweat, so I was just saying when you did that, I was just like, whoa, like you're bucking the trend in the NFL. But I still think Sweat's a good player. I think he's New England's type of player, to be honest. You know, I think he's a guy who will set the edge and play some run defense for sure. But I don't think he's great pass rush traits, but he is big and he's strong and he's smart, and I think so all those things will be attractive to them. I also considered Jerry Tillery here. I think that's an option for him. So guys we didn't draft, Daniel Jones, Joshua Jacobs, Riley Ridley, A.J. Brown, and Kill Harry. Keem Butler, if you're on that boat. I know J.J. Arcega-Whiteside for you. Dawson Knox, Irv Smith, Jay Sternberger, Andre Diller, Greg Little, Chris Lidstrom didn't come off the board in the first round here. Dexter Lawrence, Jerry Tillery, Draymond Jones, Mac Wilson, DeAndre Baker. I thought about him also with the Patriots last pick. Trayvon Mullen, Juwan Williams, John Abram didn't go in the first round here. Deontay Thompson, well, that's a far fall for us.
Makes me sad.
Go in the first round here. Neither did Taylor Rapp. So a couple names still lots of good talent on the board. One of these days, Trevor, we'll have to do a 2-round mock draft. That sounds like something that could be in our near future.
Ooh.
As a Locked On NFL Draft podcast tandem.
You're getting the listeners excited there.
Exactly. Again, check out thedraftnetwork.com, folks. Awesome stuff going on over there, and I really think you guys will love the way the new site looks. Let us know, though, and give us feedback on the podcast, too. Reviews, ratings, we really appreciate it. As always, thanks so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.